The audience is listening.
Hey, Bart, this is Jerry Norrington. I got a question for you. If God put George Bush in the White House to do his work, then why is it necessary to raise $200 million to get him elected this time?
Great point, Jerry. If Bush really is here at God's will, why does he need $200 million? That's a great point. I remember in the 87 U2 tour, they were doing a song about the greedy preachers. And I remember Bono saying the line, "Well, my God isn't short of cash, mister." Funny how a line like that will stick with you. Don't get me started on organized religion and money. I have no doubt many religious people are sincere, but I believe a majority are in this for the money. And obviously Bush is not a religious man. He's holds the current record for most people killed recently. I don't know how far back you'd have to go to find someone maybe in Rwanda who has killed more people 10 years ago, but Bush holds the current record. And he lied so he could do it. But they forgive him because he talks about God as he steals the trillions from the treasury. He talks about God. He talks about God as he transfers $700 million from the Afghan war fund into the Iraqi war fund illegally. Yeah, he's a godly man. Son of a bitch.
Hello, Mr. Bart. Dan O'Connor calling from Raleigh. I've been intrigued by all your mentions of Shinako and Aho, mentioned in show 33, that it's $35 a bottle over in Oklahoma. I'm curious to know if you could maybe drop me an email of a place where I could order it and have it shipped here in North Carolina. If there's a place that you would recommend that I order it from to have it shipped here, I would really appreciate it. Thanks again for everything. I love Bart Cop Radio. It is just phenomenal. I'll talk to you later. Take care, buddy. Bye-bye.
Seems like about a month ago. Who knows? Time is so weird. This subject came up, and someone wrote in and said they got bottles of Chinako for $40 or so. I think that was 40 plus shipping. Whoever that is, if you could write in again, this time I promise I'll write it down. I may even put a permanent sticker on the page somewhere. So 6 months from now, if someone asks the same question, all I gotta do is click on there. So if you know the internet liquor store that delivers Chinako for under $40 plus freight, please contact me. Oh, and it has to be the Chinako Añejo. That makes all the difference in the world. If you get Chinako Reposado or Silver for $5, you're paying too much. The Añejo is what you want.
Funny poker story. Last night, I'm in the Indy Casino in Florida, where they allow $2 hold'em. Yeah, $2 hold'em. Big deal, right? Funny thing happens. Everybody limps in. Flop comes out. I fold. I got shit. Flop comes out, three diamonds. Check all around. Two guys fold. Another one comes out, another diamond. Nobody bets. Everybody checks. And then finally, Fifth Street comes out, again, diamonds. Again, nobody bets. Everybody checks. Nobody thinks they've got a diamond. They figure, whatever. So they end up splitting a $5 pot between six people, and after the rake or something like that, everybody took down 75 cents. Considering the small blind was a dollar, it was the first hand in poker I saw where everybody lost and nobody won. Anyways, thought it was funny. Hope it made sense. Talk to you later. Bye.
I also have never heard of that before. How strange for everyone at the table to lose. But, you know, in every state, they got these stupid rules. It's dumb. I'll just do a second on it because I know you know how I feel. But the idea, you walk in a casino and they say, no, you can only spend $2 because anything more than that would be improper or wasteful or risky. But if you want to buy 1,000 shares of Microsoft, fine. They love it. That's what they call entrepreneurship. Take a chance. Gamble. What the hell? But if it's poker, it's got to be $2 because you got to be careful. Jesus, what a nutty country we live in.
Bart, long-time reader, first-time caller. That picture of the two young Iraqi boys with that soldier holding up the George Rotate on this sign is the best photograph I've seen since this whole damn thing started. Thanks a lot for all you do.
Have you heard? There's a pretty good backstory about that. For those who don't know, a while back, a week, 10 days, I don't know, there's a picture of a soldier posing with two Iraqi boys. They looked like they were 8 or 10 or something like that. And they had a sign, and some trickster blotted out the Arabic or whatever it's called and wrote in, "Hey, Bush, sit on this and rotate." But the truth is, what the kids had really written on the sign is, "Hey, dude, thanks for killing my brother and getting my sister pregnant." And so these little Iraqi kids with a sense of humor you know, apparently the guy said, hey, would you pose with me? And they said, sure, give me a second. This guy writes down, thanks for killing my family and getting my sister knocked up in Arabic. And so the three of them sit there and kind of smile for the camera, and the soldier didn't know. But how about that? An Iraqi comedian, 8 or 9 years old.
Bart, L.A. Rick, what's happening?
Dude!
I just got back from Vegas. I was staying downtown. I was hanging out at Binion's. They opened it up again. I was hanging out right in front of the Wall of Champions, and I was going to give you a call, but I didn't have the number. And just so happens, I come home, and I see that you're having a poker fest in Florida, and I was going down to buy a ticket tomorrow to go to Florida right around that time. I think you might be able to count me in as a triple poker fest attendee. Later, dude.
Yep, we're looking forward to that. Going to Florida, going to play a little poker. Mrs. Bart, never been to Florida? Well, neither of us have. We got them free tickets, so what the hell? What we're going to do is land in Orlando, rent a car, drive south. We like to drive. I hope Florida isn't one long giant sandbar or marsh or whatever. I haven't looked at a map yet. We've been on so many vacations, and, you know, it just seems like they all work because we're not stupid. We do things normally in the right way, and we don't gamble unless we're sitting at a poker table. So, yeah, that's the plan. Land in Orlando, drive south, spend a night here, spend a night there. Got some friends we're going to spend a night or two with. Probably going to hit the Keys. Rick told me on the phone he knows Miami real well. He's going to show us around Miami. Could be a fun time. Next up is our old friend William Shatner, Captain Kirk from the original Star Trek. Boy, oh boy, has anybody ever had a career like Captain Kirk? You know, he started out, he was the hot new boy in Hollywood. Around mid-60s, he was doing all those Twilight Zone, Big Valley. You know, he was on everything. Any show that was out then, he was on it. He was the handsome, good-looking guest star coming up guy. Then he got into Star Trek, and it was a medium hit, and it stayed on like 3 years, and then it fell off. Then nobody would hire William Shatner. I haven't read his story, but they said he lived in his car for a year or a summer or something. He was broke, and nobody would take his calls, and he was nothing, and he was really down. And then gradually, the whole Star Trek thing started coming back, and he started doing the conventions and that. And then pretty soon, the Star Trek movie started, and then boom, he was maybe not on top again, but he was back in show business, making money. Then he falls into this Priceline.com thing. And again, I think I know the story. They came to him and said, we want you to be the spokesman for our new deal, and we don't have a lot of money, but it's got potential. So instead of us, you know, like, I'll make these numbers up. They said, we'll give you $500,000, or we'll give you 10%, let's say. So Shatner gambles and says, I'll take the 10%. And Priceline went crazy. At one point, Shatner was worth $10 million, or had gotten $10 million just from Priceline. And then Priceline started to crash. I don't know how much he got out of it, but it really put him back. But then he started doing all these real soapy, campy commercials that were so bad, they were fun. You know, he'd come out and he'd start singing, and it was so bad, it was funny. And it made him hip. I've never seen anybody go from the man to homeless, to come back on top, and then turn into this hip icon kind of character. I mean, I imagine there's nobody in all of comic fandom, you know, these conventions. I'll bet nobody gets more money than Captain Kirk. I'll bet he is the king of all the... Mark Hamill? No. Harrison Ford? No. I don't even know who's on there. Angelina Jolie? No. I don't think any of those people get anywhere near Picard. None of them. I don't think they get anywhere near what Kirk and Spock get at these conventions. Okay, now he's on a new TV show. I don't know if he's going to be permanent. I would guess not. But The Practice was once a great show. It's dying. It got down to where only James Spader was worth watching. And then he had a fight. They're dissolving the show on the air, which I think is kind of cool. Last night, Jimmy left. Now there's just Eugene and Eleanor are the only two left on the show. Which is, like I say, it's shocking to see a show. It's like 10 Little Indians every week. They lose another partner, and now they're down to two people. But James Spader left to go over to Shatner's firm. Shatner is a, he's half Effley Bailey. He's Mr. Showman, Mr. Bragg at all, Mr. You know, you can't mess with me in the courtroom kind of guy. But he has Alzheimer's, and he's failing. But what he's done to make up for his lack of legal expertise or his failing legal expertise, he's become a poker player. Now, in a poker game, that's great, but you don't want to be in a poker game with someone's life at stake or someone's future at stake. But I want to play this little bit. It's like a minute long. It's real short. But this is a... Oh, and the other thing, they made his character... David E. Kelly, I don't know why he does this a lot, but it really works here because Shatner can pull off this flamboyant, bragging prick kind of a guy because of this whole Priceline background he's got. You remember he did comedy, too. He did Airplane. He was great in Airplane or Airplane 2, I think. But who knew before Airplane 2 Shatner was that funny? So here we go. He's in a trial. As we join the clip, he has forgotten his place. He doesn't know where he is. He's lost. He's standing in a room full of strangers. He doesn't know what's going on. So he has one of his attendants with little tiny flashcards, like 5x7 little cards she holds in her lap, and she writes 3 or 4 words on the cards and flashes it to him when he turns around, and that gives him a place to leap off from. So he's trying to fight for this little kid. No, it was a lady who was walking through Walmart. He calls it All Shop or something, but it's Walmart. Light fixture fell and killed her. They've been offered $1.2 million. They've been demanding $2.4 million. They can't agree, so they go into trial. Mr. Flamboyant, at work.
Value of human life. It's a bugger. My friend Jerry Spence tells a story of this paper boy delivering his papers on this morning route one day. He throws the paper through the window, shatters the glass, blinds a woman. What's the value of that? Paper boy decides to give the woman his profits for the week. Not very much, considering she was blinded. Now here, we have a loss of life. An avoidable loss. Not merely an accident. One they could have prevented. So I think the paper boy had the right idea. At the end of this trial, I'm going to get up. I'm going to ask the defendant to pay my client 1 week's profit. Now, let's make that a day's profit. Let's not get greedy here. We may not be able to put a price on Mary Finnerty's life, but we can at least pay her family the profits for the day they killed her. What could be more fair than that?
Well, at this point, the defense counsel jumps up. Objection, sidebar, Your Honor. So they all go into the judge's chambers. Denny Crane. Oh, that's something else I forgot today. Whenever he gives a little speech, and at the very end he says, Denny Crane. That's his name, but it's somehow, it's his signature. I'm done speaking now. Denny Crane. Okay, so Denny Crane and his two associates and the judge and the three monkey lawyers go into the judge's chambers, and this is where he plays poker. In poker, it took me a year to understand this. It doesn't matter what's in your hand. If you shove more chips into the pot than the other guy's willing to bet, you can have garbage in your hand. And the other guy, if he doesn't have the balls to call you on it, then he's going to lose and you're going to win. That's the principle behind many, many legal trials, and that's what he's getting ready to explain to the idiot lawyers here. It doesn't matter who's right on the facts of the case. It matters how much are you willing to gamble. Okay, so here we got six lawyers and the judge. Check out William Shatner playing a little poker.
My client's profits are not relevant. The number of stores they have is not relevant. How dare you go into that? And how dare you not shut him down?
May I go off the record, briefly?
Go right ahead.
Thank you. This is not for your ears, by the way. You stupid bastard. Cases rarely turn on what's legally relevant. What you have to be concerned with here is that All Shop makes $160 million of pure profit a day. A day. In gross revenues, $800 million. In the 20 minutes it took the ambulance to reach Mary Finnerty's crushed head, your client took in $10 million. That might slip out in court, and even if it doesn't, look at this face. It comes with its own publicist. The jury will get wind of those numbers.
In which case, we'll appeal.
Great. And do you think you'll be the lawyers to handle that appeal when your client gets whacked with a $50 million judgment? You're an ass. You're an ass. You're an ass. How about we settle this case like your career's depended on it? bastards. I'm sorry, where were we?
Probably his best point was, why do you think you're going to be the attorneys on the appeal? I'm going to get my client $50 million. What is Allshop going to do with you once they're on the hook for $50 million? Don't you think they're going to trade up for some lawyers? So bet your career if you want. Or we could settle. So they settled for $8 million, I think, or something. Remember, they started out Allshop, offered him 1.2, and they asked for 2.4, and they ended up with 8. That's what you do when you play poker. Everybody should play poker.
Don't touch that dial. Though you don't have a dial because you're probably listening to this on the computer.